I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl. Today, we are talking about a ton of different things. Education. We are talking about communism. We are talking about the shift in America as we see it today. And what we need to learn from history, from other people's stories. I'm super excited because we have a guy on, a Cuban immigrant on from named Hamlet Garcia, who has some amazing stories, but also was targeted by the government for some stuff in education that a lot of people may not be aware of. And I would say it was one of the primary reasons we need to talk about school choice more often. And so I'm really excited to get this story out here today, Kathy, because I think it's just not something that's recognized as a problem. I know that the unions and the liberals are really trying to keep people down. And this is the story of that, really.
Well, it's a lot of great things today. So I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And we are two women inspiring real lives. So let's twirl.
So Hamlet is a Cuban American who has a history with his grandfather being a political prisoner in Cuba and also has had his own fight with the public education system
in the United States.
So it seems like he's following in his grandfather's footsteps in some ways, you know.
Thank you.
but before we get started, Hamlet, I've got to tell you a secret.
Go ahead.
My grandmother was a Cuban immigrant.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. So you and I, we've got some background together.
You might be related.
Who never know? Let's go do the test. What do you call the test they're doing this day?
That's right.
I'm excited to hear your story and to start with your grandfather's story in Cuba. And can you share a little bit about that?
Well, thank you. First, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you, two beautiful ladies and smart ladies. It's always great and a pleasure. You know, I was born in Cuba. So for that reason, I learned and I know very close the evil of the socialists or communists. I was born in a communist state. I was going to a school. There's also a communist school system. And my grandfather, way before I was born, he was a very wealthy man in Cuba, hardworking, wealthy man in Cuba. He had a big cigar company that he built and have many employees that he employs.
Can I stop you for just a second? Yeah. These are the famous Cuban cigars that are not allowed in the U.S.
Correct.
Correct. Oh,
correct. Yeah.
That's great.
Tell us about your grandfather. He had a cigar company.
Correct. So when the communists arrived to Cuba in any socialist state, the government has to have control of your business. So the government told my grandfather, for nine over, you have to work for us and we control your business. Imagine that. You own a business and the government want to take control. So, of course, my grandfather rebelled against the policies. Once you rebel against socialists, once you rebel against communists, they still take the companies away from you, but they also send you to prison. So my grandfather ended up losing his business and lost 15 years of his life in jail as a political prisoner because he decided not to comply with the rule of the Castro regime, that you have to be an employee for the government. So after 15 years, he was released from jail and he was given 48 hours to leave the country with the family if he decide. Of course, we decide to leave him. They don't want him in the country longer than 40 hours. We decide to come to Venezuela. Venezuela gave us a visa. That was in 1985. At the time, Venezuela was a free country, wealthy country, one of the beautiful and wealthy country of the nation. You know, we know that a lot of petroleum, a lot of gold, diamond. That was before Castro touched Venezuela and convert Venezuela in what is today one of the poorest country on the Caribbean in South America.
So Hamlet, he got out of prison and then his whole family, he took you and his whole family.
Correct.
He had 40 hours to marshal the whole family. Were you guys aware that that was going to happen?
We was aware and we was pleased that we can leave that country. So it was a blessing for us then my grandfather had the opportunity to have to leave, but of course, have a pain for him. They had to spend 15 years in jail to help us to leave the country. So it's a blast for us, and I always grateful to him for what he did, you know, and the suffering that he endured in jail for 15 years.
And so he was in jail purely by saying, no, I'm not going to give you my company that I worked in my livelihood.
Correct. He was sent to jail just because he decided not to comply to be an employee from the government, where he always has worked very hard and have a company. You know, remember, on the socialist state, they always, the first thing they like to attack is the real estate market and to attack any business. Very similar that I see what happened to President Trump in New York. You know,
yeah.
the real estate market is one of the biggest way to make a country wealthy, not only in America, but around the world.
And so, I don't know if you're aware of this, Hamlet. I was just talking to one of our state legislators. They're actually going after conservative businesses right now, legally in Pennsylvania. And so, you know, it's funny you just said that. It never dawned on me that that's one of the first places. But between buying up all the farmland and everything else, and then them going after the conservative businesses under Governor Shapiro, what you're saying is essentially what was happening in Cuba. Am I mistaken by that?
You're right. And this is why so many Cubans, America, like me, they live in America, and so many Venezuelans, Americans as well, and so many Ukrainians, America, they used to leave the Soviet Union. My wife used to live in the Soviet Union many years. She's also Ukrainian. We trying to keep this aware to the American people. Some listened, other ones, they say, no, that will never happen here, just like some Venezuela used to say. And actually, we are more close to a socialist in America than never been, because since the Biden regime, and I call the Biden regime, took power of this of the White House, America has changed completely. Everything that we do, socialist, that you can imagine, a socialist nation, is happening in this country. Attacking a former president, the way they do business, real estate, the way that everybody in real estate do business, the same way that he does anyway. But this is just an attack to let it know everybody else in the same business, hey, we're coming after you as well.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yes.
So Venezuela, you're there. How did you get to the United States from Venezuela?
Right after we stayed in Venezuela in 1990, we have an organization in Miami called the Cuba Foundations. They was able to negotiate visa with the president at the time. I think that was in the 1980 with Ronald Reagan, the president. And we had
a good one. Yes.
Great. We love Ronald Reagan. Yes. Cubans love Ronald Reagan. So we was able to get a visa for asylum, also for political refugee, to come to America. So we came here also with the same visa status as a political refugee. No, my grandfather, he died in Venezuela of a heart attack. He always had a dream to live in America. He has come to this country many times as a business person. He come here to do business before Castro, but when he was relieved from jail, this was the place that he really wanted to live, because he loved this country. He never made it. He died of a heart attack in Venezuela. And every fight that I do this day with the school choice, and every fight, I always do it in his honor, because he was a fighter like me. People recognize Latinos and Cubans, Americans in Miami, when they heard my last name, Campanería. It's a well-known name. They know who Campanería was. My grandfather was a well-known man in Cuba, not only because the kind of business that he had, but also because of the fight that he put to the Castro regime. And I'm the same way. I'm a fighter person. So I do everything with a lot of passion and respect for him, because everything that I have today, the business that me and my wife have, the house that I have, the freedom that I have, is thanks to all the sacrifice that he went through.
So when he went to prison and they took his company, essentially, I'm assuming that also bankrupted the family financially, and him, and as you had to start all over again, right?
It started all over again. My grandmother, which is the you know, the person that was his wife at the moment, also had to start all over. She has to learn how to do cleaning houses and doing all cleaning hotels, do all the kind of job to survive, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a job, but that's not what she was made for at the moment. She have a business that she employed people, right? He helped the economy of the country as well at the time. So, but my story, don't think is the only person that we went through that. Many Cubans people that live in the United States have very similar story than mine. So I don't want to make my story just unique. No, many, you speak to many Cubans in Miami, and many one has gone through the same situation. Many wealthy people that used to live in Cuba have to escape the Castro regime after sending to jail for fighting to give the right to own a business. So it's not only my grandfather, it's many other Cubans that I know in Miami had the same situation.
I think it's important, though, for you to share that and for us to be reminded of that. And I think even telling the Venezuelan part, that because we say, oh, it can't happen here. And it can. And there are people in Venezuela who said that same thing. And I, you know, as you were saying that, they were a rich country. They enjoyed their freedom. They were kind of a jewel. And they're not so much today.
Today in Venezuela, if you want to buy sugar, rice, and oil, you have to make a long line for an hour, and you have to have a little booklet in your hair like Cuba, and the government tell you how much sugar, how much oil you can have today. I could have never imagined this to happen in Venezuela. I had it in Cuba, I remember very well. But Venezuela, I lived there, a country with so much wealth and so much prosperity. I would have never imagined that Venezuela would be also online with a little booklet to tell you how much you can eat today. Never in my life imagined this, but Castro did that.
Wow. Again, I thank you for sharing that, because I don't think we appreciate or really understand that Castro and Cuba, you know, impacted life in Venezuela to that way.
In the same way, the same way they're impacting the life in America by Black Lives Matter, by group and organizations like that. Castro sent doctors, and when they mean doctor is they're not real doctors, to all the countries to supposed to help people. They need help with medicine and good education. And they are actually people that work from the government, infiltrated to little by little to start forming a socialist. Castro worked very close over here, the Castro regime, because Castro passed already, thank God. But the Castro regime worked very close hand to hand with Black Lives Matter in America. Pay attention to that group. Black Lives Matter, very dangerous group in America.
You know, it's interesting you say that. This is a friend of a friend, but one of my best friends is very close friends with an activist who does all sorts of different things. And she got together with BLM, and she quickly recognized that it was not what they said it was. And she got herself out of there. And this is a person that does protests, you know, a lot of different things around the country, and recognized that. But I don't know that most Americans understand that about BLM.
Well, I have a video up there that was sent to me, and it's also in the news, and I have it on my Twitter. I just posted a couple of days ago. Black Lives Matter in Chicago, in a big protest, they saying very clear, socialist, that's what we want in America. A revolution, that's what we need in America. Their own group and organizations on the street of Chicago, now they open very clear that they want a socialist in this nation.
And Hamlet, who do you think is behind all of that and encouraging them? Is it coming from Cuba or from other areas? There's got to be money and people pushing them to do these
things.
Well,
the Democrat Party in America has always been a party of very socialist mind. You know, when you have a Democrat Party that is ensured that you get the worst education system, that if you poor stay in that poor and worse education system, and they don't help you to get a school choice, because they know that if you get better choice, better education, it's a good way to you get out of poverty. And the Democrat Party don't want you to get out of poverty. They make money, they make profit when you are poor, because they call themselves the party for the poor people. I always say, I don't need a party to protect my poverty. I need a party to raise me out of poverty. Yes, and the Democrat Party will never do that to Black and Latinos and minority, because they profit of your poverty.
And I think you've shown we talk about that the government in America and our social services encourage dependency. And, you know, as you mentioned, in Cuba and Venezuela, when the government got involved and they took away private business and so forth, life did not get better. It got worse in every way, shape, or form when the government took over versus when individuals owned the businesses and so forth, and the people made the choices versus government.
The government can provide nothing to people. The government need money to produce, and to have money, you need to have business, private companies to produce the money. So when the government promised to you, like Cuba, we're going to give a free education, we're going to give you free health insurance. That's not true. The health system in Cuba is the worst. You have to bring your own equipment when you go to the emergency room. So they can treat you. They don't have alcohol. If they need alcohol to try to take care of boom, you have to bring everything yourself because it's nothing. So I don't need a government. They tell me it's going to provide me what? More poverty? That's not correct. And that's what the reason why you see people constantly in boat fleeing Cuba or crossing the border from to Venezuela to America, but we don't see people from America going in a boat back to Cuba.
Right. Right. Although I'm not going to lie, I have thought about heading down to Mexico on occasion because I figured it can't get much worse than where we're going here.
No, I think
but I've not gotten to Cuba or Venezuela yet.
If someone wanted to leave Cuba today, is it still, are you taking your life in your hands to try to do that or, you know, or can they leave?
Right now is, you still can do it by vote, but you have to be able to push land. If the immigration department catch you in the middle of the ocean, they send you back to Cuba. So you have to be able to touch soil, American soil on the beach, right? And then you'll be able to ask for asylum. And of course, they have to be checked in consideration. What I mean, check in consideration, that's where normally during President Trump used to be. Today, on the Biden regime, we don't do no more check and no more consideration. Anybody can come to this country by any way they want. So and anybody get it. Huh?
So tell us how you feel about that as an immigrant.
Yes.
I feel terrible that I you know, my grandfather has spent 15 years in jail. And then we have a visa, correct visa to come to this country. And my grandfather had to sacrifice so much to we can get a visa approved by the government. So people just come illegally to this country and only come illegal. They're able to get a debit card with money, hotel pay. California is giving 20% down payment for houses for illegal people as well. As you know that, you can find that in the news as well. And so much help. They're not even a veteran.
I wonder
living on the street and getting help.
If I flew down to Mexico and snuck across the border, I wonder if I could get the 20% down for a new house.
Well, you would not.
So,
Yes.
I think, Hamlet, when you say that, because it gets me kind of angry.
She's going to be angry all week.
I know. Now I'm angry. But
I'm angry too.
I know. Because I always say that the illegal immigration thing, the biggest people that's a slap in the face to are people who've, like your grandfather, who've come here legally. I knew a gentleman who spent like 20 years in a refugee camp in Bhutan or Nepal or something just for the time to get here. That's a slap in the face to those people more than anything else. And that's what really makes me mad. And on behalf of your grandfather and others, like you said, who did these things just to get to America versus coming in here, it makes me angry.
The people we want to immigrate to the U.S. are people like your grandfather who have ambition, who would probably have started another company, right? Would have been contributing to our tax base and contributing to our way of life.
In honor to my grandfather, my wife and I, we own a business here for 15 years. We insure broker. We have a business. We contribute to the state as well. And, the immigration illegal is always happening in this country for many years. Doesn't matter who president, Democrat, Republican, they always we have illegal people crossing the border. But the way that happened today is different. It's an invitation. Before, they just sneak. Now it's an invitation by the President Biden to say, come over here, anybody. Doesn't matter what is your status, criminal, legal status. Venezuela, the Maduro regime, has opened the jails. And most of the people that come from Venezuela this day are criminals that he took off the jail to America. Remember the 1980s, Castro did the same thing. Remember in the 80s when the boat float coming from Cuba? That was specifically created for family that have boat in Miami to come to Cuba and pick out the family. But Castro, what was doing? Castro was sending in that boat 5 members of the family and 20 criminals that he opened the jails and sent it to America. We ended up having 25,000 criminals, 125,000 people coming in boat from Cuba to Miami in the 1980s. Of those 25,000 was criminal. Remember the movie Scarface with Al Pacino?
Well, yes.
That's the movie is because what happened in Miami in 1980. This time is worse because we have over 10 million people that have crossed the border. Not 125,000, 10 million that we know so far crossing the border. We are very soon to another 9/11 or even worse than 9/11. thanks to Joe Biden.
I think the latest is Haiti. The people I've been reading about, the criminals that they broke out of jail in Haiti, and now coming from that country as well. So it's
and they're cannibals. That's an even bigger issue.
Just so you know, just last week, it was in the news as well. The governor of Florida just stopped a boat coming from Haiti and was a lot of weapons inside the boat. Archive 16. So he was already people coming from Haiti armed to America. So he was stopped just a week ago on the coast of Florida.
And that the scary thing is that's one that they caught and stopped. How many others are, you know, coming and again, walking up through the southern border? I even think I've read about the northern border coming in, but we're doing nothing to protect ourselves.
I can't get across the northern border without my passport. What are you talking about?
It is a plan by the Democrat. These people, supposed to, they can vote now. Let's just say, supposed to, they can vote, but they can count. So more of these illegal people you bring to Blue City, more they count for more help from the city and for more state representative and more Democrat representations on those cities. You understand? That's why they're doing that. Redistribution, so they can have more people in those Blue City, and they can ask, hey, we need more state representative in the city. We need more funds because now we have more people. So they cannot vote, supposed to be, but they count for some way or another one. And they help the Democrats in one way or another one to be in the country.
It is scary. Pennsylvania, they just, you can get, you know, registered to vote with a driver's license. So we heard last week about illegals registering to vote and, you know, getting a driver's license, and then they're registered to vote, that they can either vote or they hand it off to someone else to vote in their place. So we have to take a break,
but we'll come right back and let's continue this story. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen in our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. Be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We must all do our part to share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so that we can help secure America's future.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD Loud for 25% off your first order. That's healthycell.com. Code out loud.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health and supporting gut health to reducing the appearance of wrinkles and even improving mind, mood, and energy. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
This depressing story.
I love your accent though, Hamlet, because you know I said I get angry, but you sound better angry. So
you do sound better angry. Because I'm gonna have to listen to her for the next week.
I can't do it like that. So thank you. But it's just you know, we can say it, but hearing your firsthand account to this, you know, seeing it not one but two countries really before you even got here, and now saying I'm seeing the same thing in the United States. I think people need to really step up and listen, because other people can say it, but you had a firsthand eyewitness account to all this.
And people should know he has a pretty big Twitter following. And I have to tell you how humble you are. He's like, I'll follow you on Twitter. I'm like, oh, me and my 25 people. Hamlet's like, I'll follow you. I'm like, you're so sweet.
Thank you.
But he has and people need to hear your story. People need to hear your firsthand experience. But I also want to talk, because just as important is how I'm just going to lay it out there. The Democrats are keeping people in poverty by taking away choices and movement within the U.S. I mean, America has been known for the ability to go from poverty to flourishing since its inception. I mean, when we look at Alexander Hamilton, he was a poor kid out of Nevis. I don't know if you know that, the Caribbean, who came up here, and was a founding father. And so the opportunity in America is unsurpassed by any other country in the world.
But it starts with education.
That's exactly right. And you have a pretty big story in education that I really want to get into, because I'm a huge proponent of school choice. I think that money should follow the students. And, you know, there are people who are stuck in school districts against their will because they don't have the ability to move outside that school district. And really, we need to get these kids learning and in the right environment for that particular student. So tell me about what happened. Was it 2007 when this happened?
2011.
Yes.
In 2011, my wife and my daughter was living in Montgomery County. We have a little married situation, and my wife decided to
that
move
never
to.
Never happens.
No one has ever had a marriage.
Never happened.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So my wife decides to move with the father and my daughter to the house in Montgomery County. We both knew this was going to be temporary, because she was doing it in a way to let me give you a lesson, you know, which is worked pretty good, and I highly appreciate what she did. So she moved to the house with the father and my daughter in Montgomery County. And during the time, my daughter should be in kindergarten. And during the time, she was living in Montgomery County legally, incorrectly, my wife Shane had driver license and all her information to the city, to the town where she was living, because to enroll the daughter also in the school, that's required, because also the right things to do. So my daughter was enrolled in the school in Montgomery County with all the correct documentations needed. During the time, my wife and her stepmom, you know, stepmom sometimes, they have an argument in the house. And of course, she decided this is the right moment now for me to go back, you know, to my house with my husband, because I think he understood the message that I'm trying to give it when we had a problem. So she come back to the Philadelphia house, but was 3 months before the school ended. We left our daughter to continue, finish kindergarten, because it was only 3 months to finish the kindergarten. The grandmom took the opportunity to go to school and say, hey, they don't live here. And that daughter is taking the survey from the school that they don't live, you know? Something that should be simple. But the school superintendent beside my daughter was all the 15 other families on the same situation. They wasn't living in the school district for many reasons. I don't know the reason they all went, but 15 other families, according to the school superintendent herself, she went to the news. My case was national attention. So she went to the news and said 15 other families, but we decide only the Garcia families to take as serious as the criminal charges. The superintendent, a Democrat superintendent, together with his teacher union, decide to use my case as an example to scare African-Americans and Latinos in Philadelphia that if you try to come to a better school outside of your school zip code, this can happen to you. We were facing 7 years in jail. We were charged by theft of service by the section by allowing to my daughter continue the last 3 months on that school. We offered to pay the school for the entire years, $11,000. The school, they say, nope, they resign not to get the money. They want to go all the way to trial because they want to scare, they want to send a message, but they thought that this was going to be an easy case by treating my family as a criminal. I live in this country for over 30 years, and this is the first time that me and my wife wasn't any involved with the police, Mera, you know, because we have a good record living in this country. And I was very upset knowing that we was going to lose our business because my wife have a license to do the business, professional license. We was going to lose our home and everything that we have for just providing education to my daughter in a public school. I say, I come from a communist country. I don't think this should be happening in America. This is wrong. I'm going to fight this very strong. I did. We hired an attorney from out of state, from Florida, because the attorneys from Florida and Pennsylvania wasn't doing a good job. There was a scare. They were very scared to do any good job, scared to the Democrats. And I hired an attorney from Florida. They came to represent us. We fought this in court. And on the day of the trial, after so much expense, we spent over $100,000, all the criminal charges was dropped. But it wasn't easy. We had to really fight very hard. And between that process, my car was vandalized. People vandalized my cars. They say they was going to put a bomb to kill me because I was fighting against the Democrat. Reverend Al Sharpton came to help me. Let's go say to help me. He said, we're going to fight for you. He sent lawyers to the court the first day. But he didn't like the way I talk about the Democrats. When I do interview on CNN and Fox News, I was constantly always telling the truth. Who doing this to me are the Democrat superintendent, the Democrat teacher union, that they want to make sure that my daughter stay in the worst education system so my daughter can never have a future in this country. So when they saw that I was actually very vocal about the truth, they decided not to help me. And good God, I don't need your help. I got help with my own money. I got lawyers. The point is that these people, they come around me trying to help all the Democrats organizations. They all backed out once I was speaking the truth. They saw they was going to help me and I want to be quiet and take all the blame and defend the Democrat system. No, I'm not going to do that because it was your Democrat system, the one they're trying to destroy my life.
Isn't it funny that the people that purport to help the quote unquote poor immigrant and so forth, when you criticize them, all of a sudden they throw you to the wolves and try to ruin your life, take your business and everything else.
Threaten you.
Yeah. And I just want to say what he's saying. I actually was thinking when you said about your daughter the last 3 months of school. That was me at one time. I remember we moved like the last 2 months of school an hour away, and my dad drove us because exactly what you said. He didn't want, I mean, that happens all the time.
It does.
He didn't want us to have to leave school with 2 months or whatever left.
But this is what's going through my head. Let me just step back here for a second. You know, we have people who are dealing drugs, who are killing people with the drugs that they're handing out. We've got rapists, murderers. We've got BLM people, you know, taking down businesses, smashing windows, and he's the guy
that they want after?
That they go after? Like, yes. Seriously?
But you forgot to mention something else. We have illegal people coming to this country using the schools and the street where they don't live. Because according to the zip code law, you have to resign 24/7 on that street to you be able to go to school. You cannot be temporary, part-time living in that street. That's exactly what they did to me and my wife. My wife was a temporary living in that street because she came back to Philadelphia. Now we got people that don't have a real house, illegal people, that come to a zip code to live temporary, and they're able to bring the children to that school. And they're taking resort from those schools that we are paying taxes. So illegal people, they have more power and better treatment than citizens like you and me and the school system.
So essentially, if you are a legal immigrant, not only if he's a legal immigrant, you have a harder time getting into this country. They punish you for going against, you know,
for doing it the right way.
You get punished for trying to give your children a better life. Like, this is insanity.
Well, and look,
you know what I learned with my case, something interesting, thanks to Twitter and my Twitter account. I used to have 250,000 followers, way more than what you see there. But Twitter used to be controlled by socialists as well. When I was trying to support President Trump, many of my followers was taken away. That's fine. Not only to me, that happened to many of the people that support President Trump. But what is interesting that I learned with my case, people contact me to Twitter, and then I learned the story, everybody. What I went through, also other people went through. But we all have something in common, Black and Latinos. I met so many Black and Latinos that has been sent to jail with the same reason than me. The most famous one that you may know, you can Google her name, Kelly Williams Bolar, which is a good friend of mine today. Kelly Williams Bolar, a year before me, she sent her daughter to the school where the father resigned. The father have a beautiful house and have a better school district. She wasn't living with the father. The case was different than mine, but still, the father lived alone in the house. He paid school taxes. The daughter was being bullied in the other school, and she was almost kill herself, you know, for the bullying. So to save the daughter life, I'm sorry, this always came emotional, this part. The mother sent the daughter to the father's school. The school district find out that she wasn't living there, and they give criminal charges to Kelly's William Bolar and the dad. Kelly's didn't have the money to hire a good attorney, so the public defender didn't help her. They sent both to jail. You know what the sad part of the story, what the Democrat did, also was a Democrat superintendent in that case as well, to that woman, the father, a 72-year-old man, died of a heart attack in jail. He couldn't take the stress. So they killed a great-grandfather, an excellent man that was protecting his granddaughter in a house that he owned and paid school taxes. They sent him to jail with his daughter, of course, separate jail, man and woman jail, but he died of a heart attack. You please Google her name, Kelly William Bolar. If you ever need to speak to her, she's my personal friend. We've been collaborating many times. She's also against of the Democrats' Day. She's an African-American, but those African-Americans, the finalists are waking up that this is the wrong system. If you want to be in America, you cannot be with the Democrat Party because they're going to destroy your life. Like they did it for her. They kill.
Well, it's like father. they need the Latinos and the African Americans, they can't let the message that get out that they're not siding with the Democrats, because it erases the whole narrative that they've built their party upon. And, you know, I think it's dangerous for them.
I think that President Trump tried to do that, you know, to go into the cities and so forth and say, is how are they helping you? Look around you. Is this really the help? You know, they say we're here to help you, but is your quality of life better or being impacted? And do you think people are waking up, Hamlet, to the Latinos and African-Americans to this reality?
I did the first town hall Latino for Senator Mastriano when Mastriano was running for governor of Pennsylvania.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So I was helping his campaign. He's a good friend. And I did the first Town Hall Latino, you may remember, was very big in the news. I chose North Philadelphia on purpose. And I brought from Miami one of the best radios anchors to do this for me, a friend of mine, Lourdes Ubieta. I have Black Lives Matter all over that place trying to destroy my event. I have so many police officers. I can show you the videos. You can Google yourself, but I have videos saved with me. And what my point that I'm trying to tell you when you ask me if people are waking up is when I did this for Senator Mastriano at the Town Hall Latino, I had tables to switch African-Americans and Latinos or anybody who want to switch from Democrat to Republican Party. We switched so many African-Americans on that day over there to the Republican Party, you don't have any idea. So yes, every time that I'm trying to do an event to help any politicians, I always want to bring tables and ask my people, you know, to help to see if my story and your story and other story can help to then wake up, you know, and switch to the right party and vote for the right movement that is the one that will protect the right in the future. So I think people are waking up. I can see that myself. Over 3,000 people, myself, have moved already to the Republican Party. That's nothing, but I think it's plenty enough for me. I know many other people are doing the same thing that I do as well.
And he's another one that they've tried to portray as a racist. I mean, that's really how they try to portray a lot of the Republicans, especially the ones that are truly conservatives. And I think that they forget that African-Americans, Cuban-Americans, they still have a lot of very traditional family values. And that's forgotten. And that's not what the Democrats are offering. They're not offering anything that's in line with those values.
They want to destroy the family unit, is what I believe.
But that's what socialists do. The indoctrination of the children in the school today is the same thing they do Castro in Cuba, is to destroy the family's nucleus. So for a socialist to succeed, they have to have the wealth and they have to have the children's. It's important to take your children's away from you. In my school in Cuba, I was always told, if your parents disagree with our political party, which is socialist, or your parents say anything in the house that is against the Castro or is against the education that we provide you in the school, education in Cuba is about indoctrination anyway, they're teaching us to hate the United States. The United States is the worst people that we have to kill them if we have the opportunity. That's what they teach in Cuba, to hate Americans, you know? So if your parents disagree with that, you let me know. That's what my teacher always tell me. And we will take care of that. What she mean is they will send the government to take the children away, me from my parent house, and put my parents in jail. I know many parents in Cuba that went to jail because they disagree. My parents always disagree, but we treat it in a smart way, you know, to avoid any conflicts.
So, I think that's happening now in schools, like with the whole transgender thing, the kids and the pronouns. Like if you want, your parent can't be involved, but you report it to the school and we'll take care of that and even remove you from your home.
We have a case in the Supreme Court right now. If a family lost the custody of the son because she did not approve the transgender movement. You know, it's a case in the Supreme Court right now. I don't remember the name, but you can find it. It's in the Supreme Court right now. So this is what happened. They took the child away from that family because that family did not agree to the changes of the transformation of the son to be a woman. That's what happened in Cuba. If you disagree with the government, they take your children away. And that's the way the socialists built, by taking the wealth of the nation, which means taking the real estate, taking the business, and taking the children. Because you know, for the socialists, it's very difficult to control your mind and my mind. We already, all the people, our minds already made up. We know what we want. But our children, 6, 7 years old, it's easy for them to control those minds. And that's why they're always going attacking our children. Remember that. I went through that. They brainwash us. That's what they want to do.
So really, I mean, parents have to take education into their own hands if we don't want to go down this path. There's really no other choice at this point.
We have to do two things, I think. You have to be aware. If you choose public education, I mean, and everybody makes a choice. We said that, you know, first of all, get them out of the public government, as you always say,
the government school.
But if you do choose it, you have to be aware, you have to be involved, and you have to stand up. And if you are not, and we've said this over and over, if you're more concerned about going to travel soccer games then you are knowing what's being said in that classroom, you are doing a disservice to your child and generations to follow.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I don't know that you can have your child in the government school system because they are with your child more than you are.
That's
a bigger influence.
I'd say that you were in the Cuban school system, but you had your family. I mean, you obviously, you know, you.
But he's an outlier.
Right.
Yeah, he's an outlier.
Everything that they told me over here, I say, okay. But come out from the other ear, you know, because my family, they always been anti-communist, and my family always trained me to do this, you know. So I pretend to them that I listen to them, but when I go home, when I soon get out from the school, I go home, I don't listen to what they say, and I continue living my life normal, you know, by not acting or because you have to understand, in Cuba, in the school, they used to take me, children like me, out of the house to go to somebody else's house to fight with them. When you was in the 1980s, if you was trying to leave Cuba, they call you a worm. You are the worst that you can be. You're a traitor for the nation. So they used to go to the house and ask the children, people like me, younger at that age, 19 years old, to go to the neighbor house and throw rocks, throw eggs, paint, beat the people with baseball bat. Kids in Cuba used to do that. Remember, in 1980s, it was no computing. Was no phone that you can take live videos and send it. So Castro was taking advantage that the technology, it wasn't too good. So he can do those atrocities and nobody know. People will say, but he will say, no, that's not true. But now it's different. Now you don't see those atrocities as much like before. Not because the regime has changed. It's just because they very careful how they do it, because they know anybody in Cuba this day has a cellular phone with a camera to record and prove the atrocities that they do, you know? So now it's a little different.
It's almost like when they're telling the neighbors to like call in and let them, you know, the government know if people were having parties during COVID.
Yes,
I was in Newsmax. I'm going to send you the foot. I was in Newsmax with an interview about our great the secretary from Homeland Security. What is his name? I forgot right now for the moment. The Homeland Security, which is Cuban in America, by the way. How can I forget his name?
Go ahead.
The Homeland Security is Cuban America. How can I forget the name? Well, he was trying to implement in America. You may remember the Department of Truth. The Department of Truth, which was the department that we're going to have in our neighborhood people to watch for each other. And if we see something that is wrong, you're going to report to this phone number. And by that phone number, we're going to act, if something is wrong, to defend the state. When I heard that, when Marco Rubio, senator in Florida, heard that, when Cuba heard that, we got very alarmed. And they even contacted me, Newsmax, because that's exactly what we have in Cuba and also in the former Soviet Union. It's called committee. The committee is organization in each block when you leave. People, regular like you and me, they don't sleep every night. It's just they alternated separate, every 12 hours, watching what everybody does in the neighborhood and reporting to the government what everybody do in the neighborhood. That's exactly what this Secretary of the Homeland Security, Mallorca. Yeah. How can I forget? Mallorca, was trying to do. And remember, you know why Mallorca had the idea? Well, he's Cuban-American. But what is worse for me, that his family fled Castro regime in a boat to America, you know, fight against it. So how he's trying to implement something that he was actually trying to escape in Cuba? He's a Jewish Cuban-American. His family was treating worse than anybody else, one for being Jewish and one to be also anti-Castro regime. So he came as a child to America, but he knew all these implementers in Cuba, and now he's trying to put in America. Since God, people like me, like Marco Rubio, many other Cubans in Miami, we talk so loud about this that he finally say, okay, we're not going to implement it. And it's not being implemented.
I think that is all of that. You hear it. I mean, it makes makes you concerned, but it even makes me concerned, not having lived through what you did. But you hear this, like, we're going to stop disinformation, you know, like with the election.
Disinformation.
We're just helping you with disinformation. No, it's just a way to squelch free speech and the truth in a lot of ways, to make whatever the government narrative is the only thing you hear.
Correct. And that's something that it tried me twice, double, when I knew that was coming from the mouth of a Cuban American. He knew exactly what the Department of Disinformation he was calling is about. And if you read how it was going to be implemented, it's exactly how it's implementing Cuba, how it's implementing in Venezuela today, and how it was implemented in the former Soviet Union.
I wonder who's paying him, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that, the whole connection with him and Cuba. Did you?
No,
he was born in Cuba. Yeah,
it's just As we need to wind down here a little bit, any final thoughts? And there could be so many. And I thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, I wish every person in America could hear what you're saying.
I speak very fast, so I'm sorry if anybody up there having had trouble to understand me.
No, it's fascinating. And I just wish more and more people would hear what you're saying and be aware. So what is your kind of final thoughts for people?
I always tell people that look like me, which is a Latinos, African American minority, the Democrat Party, they're never going to provide you the tools to get out of poverty. They're never going to allow you to have a school choice because they suffer from poverty. For over 100 years, you'll be voting for the same thing and getting the same result. What do you have to lose? Try something different. Try something that you can see to the other people's, the work in both different is working for them. And more important, the Democrat Party today is not the same party that John F. Kennedy. The Democrat Party never was good, but now it's worse. Now it used to be about keeping you poor. Now it's not only about keeping you poor, but it's also about taking you freedom. So the Democrat Party today is a party that's going to destroy this nation if we don't fight hard. I don't asking you or anybody to dismantle completely the party. We can have just one party in the country because then we become a socialist nation. We definitely to have more than one party, but we cannot have a party that is a socialist and the Republican Party, because it's very hard to fight a socialist party. They always seem the right. They always know how to trick and lie on the books. They know how to lie also when you vote. They steal your vote and they find any trick to always hold the power. They will never want to give the power. So we need to get the Democrat Party back to what used to be. Not a great party, but at least a party that we can have communication and dialogue. You know what I mean? And sometimes you win, sometimes I win. That's fine. That's life. But we're never going to win again with the people that we have today, because they were always going to find a way to hold the control. Because they are socialists. Socialists never want to give power out.
And they're cheaters.
They're cheaters. Yeah. We know that.
I think you hit the nail on the head. We say it every week. It's about control and power, not necessarily anything else. And we just thank you so much again. As we close this out, thank you to Hamlet for what he's doing.
I think this is a story that people have got to hear. I mean, it's the message has got to get out there, because, you know, I've been friends with people who'd consider themselves revolutionists, socialists. And one of the things they always repeat, well, it hasn't been done right yet.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think the outcome is going to be? You know, you're never going to get it right, because nothing is black and white. Nothing acts like a theory. It's never going to be that way, because you cannot predict human behavior in the way they think that they can. And you know, when I think of that two-tiered party system, and Hamlet's right, we do need more than two parties, but can it be like Libertarian and Republican or something? I mean, does it have to be the socialists? Can we not just kick them out like we talked about in the 60s? I don't know.
I mean, in the story, what I think is just amazing to me, we've had different people on the show. We had somebody who grew up in the Soviet Union, and her grandmother went to the gulag. I mean, kind of same thing. Is it's always the same story.
Yeah, go after the children.
Get the kids, have your neighbors, you know, tell on you, have the kids rewarded for turning their parents in.
Yeah.
And I think it scares me, makes me sad, makes me angry that people don't see that same pattern happening here, or they choose to ignore it. So it's one thing. They choose to ignore it. They just put blinders on. But then by then it's too late. And that was the same thing in the Nazis and, you know, in the 30s and 40s. People were just like, it can't be happening. And it was. They couldn't believe that people were taken to the concentration camps and being gassed and burned alive.
But even in Nazi Germany, it's the same story. Go after the kids. Correct. You know, the kids turn in the parents. Like, it's the same story. And that's why it's so important for people to understand that their children cannot be part of these government schools, because this is what happening. They are giving your children surveys. They are learning about your family through surveys that your kids are taking without your knowledge. I mean, this is really serious. And now they want to put mental health clinics in the schools based on those surveys and other things. This is their way to separate your family, to take your child away from you. Right. If you don't wake up now, you're not going to wake up.
And it's also creating a villain. So like in Nazis, it was the Jewish, you know, the Jews were their villain and whatever. It was the landowner owners and the business people in Cuba or whatever. It's always villain. Here, I think in America, the villain are the conservatives. You know, yes. Look at them. They won't look what they're doing. They're
racist. They're bigots.
Democracy. They want to take it's. And I think Hamlet said they're very sneaky and very good at wordsmithing and twisting things to sound like a good thing.
I call them word salads.
Yes, to sound good. But and then people that are in poverty think, oh, they're helping me. Well, they're not. They're going to keep you there. So they have control and power over you versus letting you have the opportunity to empower yourself.
That's right. And everyone deserves, you know, I think I always see this meme going around, not to reference memes or anything, but I saw this meme going around, you know, basically, you know, the lions in the cage, and yes, it's well kept, but do you want your freedom or do you want to be, you know, kept, right? Like there's, it's not a good place to be.
No.
And we are becoming caged animals in the U.S. because we are not listening to the stories of Hamlet, who have experience in two freaking different countries. I mean, come on.
Oh, I love that he shared that with Venezuela, because that's the firsthand account with that. And him saying it was here. It's the same thing. And now I live in the United States and it's the same thing.
How bigger of a signal do you need to stop the direction in which we're going and to pull this back? As Americans, we are the only ones that are going to protect ourselves. No other country is going to come in here and help us. No one is out there saving us. We have to save ourselves.
It has to be we the people. I have a bumper sticker on my car to remind me every time I get in the car. It says, we the people, 1776. It has to be the people. That's who started this country. And that's who's going to keep this country. And it's ours to keep. Wasn't it John Adams or Ben Franklin?
Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. You know, we've created it, but you have to keep it.
That's right.
And we're at risk of losing it.
And it didn't take long.
No.
It did not take long.
A little over 200 years. But yes. I'm so thankful for people like Hamlet who can tell us their stories to educate us, but are also fighting along with us right here to keep the country that we love so much. And again, it's for ourselves, but it's for our kids and grandkids and future generations as well.
And this is the reminder to every person listening to our show that wherever you are and to the extent that you're able, you've got to stand up, you've got to step forward, and you've got to speak out.